So we've been going through this series called Key Questions over the summer, which is all about kind of the raw, real talk questions that we actually need to ask ourselves that end up really defining our faith and our lives and the things that sometimes in church spaces we can kind of feel like, oh, I'm not supposed to be asking these questions. But here, I really want us to be cultivating a space where those are actually encouraged and that we actually lean in. And so that's what we've been going through this summer. So for today, the question that we will be getting into, next slide, is, can I really hear God's voice? Can I really hear God's voice? And so this is one of those things where it's like, I feel like as Christians or like those of us who maybe grew up in church, like we hear this a lot, right? Of like, oh, like God told me da-da-da-da, right? Or like I heard God saying blah-blah-blah-blah. And it's like, how does that happen? You know, like, how did that person hear, quote unquote, the voice of God, right? And I feel like for a lot of us, like, we do carry some of these questions around, like, is that something that I'm able to do, right? Like, hear the voice of God. And I guess simple answer to start off today's talk is that emphatically, as believers, and even actually as non-believers, the answer is yes. We are all able to hear the voice of God. But sometimes we may not actually feel that way, right? And I think that there's very real and valid fears, doubts, anxieties that we have around just our relationship with God and like whether we're able to actually hear him speak to us. And so where I want to go today is like actually I'm a super practical person and I love practical. So where I want to get to today is basically just like a practical workshop on like basically hearing the voice of God. And we're going to be doing like activities and I'm going to be facilitating things, which is what I love to do. But where I want to start is this idea of doubt. So I think it's really important that we address this. Yeah. So yes. Oh, doubt. There it is on the screen. And so I guess this question I want to start off with is, how confident do you actually feel in your ability to hear God's voice? So we're going to do a little poll here. Hopefully this works. Ah, look at that. Isaiah's working magic today. All right, so if you can pull out your phones and actually scan the little QR code on the screen, this is one of those little live poll things. So there's two questions, basically, and we're going to start off with this one, is just on a scale of 1 to 5, how confident do you feel in your ability to hear God's voice? So 5 is feeling like very confident, and then 1 is like not confident. Yeah. So we're getting some responses rolling in here. Okay. 3.1. Oh. All right. All right. Mm-hmm. A couple more seconds here. And there is, I believe, a second question that you'll be able to go to in the next one, which is going to be basically like, why or why not? And so if you can just write in just like maybe like one thing into that second question around like what kind of like is potentially like a reason that you feel the way that you did, that you voted in the first question. Ooh. Yes. How can he have time for someone like me? Oof. I feel like I can, but I often don't seek it out. Mm-hmm. Heart discern feeling versus God. That's so real. I have so many voices in my head. Which one is God's? Question mark. Sometimes I hear, but don't trust it. It's actually God. Ooh, that's real. Because God is good and worthy. He hears us in response. Ooh, I like that one. Innate feeling or pull. I'm scared to hear what he'll say. Hard to know for sure whether it's just... Okay, I guess I don't know what happens. Okay, cool. So, sorry, if Isaiah, if you go back one slide, I just want to see kind of where it ended up. So, 2.9. 9. Interesting. All right. So somewhere in the middle, you know, like we're feeling like, okay, maybe I have some ability to hear or maybe not. So definitely I'm feeling like in the room, like, there's like some sort of like hesitation or reservation sometimes, right? And I really love like a lot of those things that people pulled up in that next slide. If you just kind of go forward again, like, thank you all so much for these responses, because I feel like it's kind of important just to note kind of where we are and acknowledge the fact that there's like very real fears and doubts that we have. And yeah, I feel like a lot of these questions are super common for like what I hear from people all the time in terms of like, just like, you know, hearing the voice of God, what we're feeling, things like that. God's ability to get through to me is greater than my inability to hear. Ooh, Mickey's sermon from a few months ago. Who is that A-plus student? Love it, love it. So, yeah, thank you all so much for participating in this little live poll. And, yeah, I feel like those are just things I do want us to kind of keep in mind as we go through the rest of this talk of, like, yes, there can be, like, very practical things that we learn, but I feel like from just even, like, a subjective place and even just like a feeling, a place of like real feelings and emotions, I think it's important to just be like, man, there is some stuff, you know, to like really work through here. I think honestly, some of this even comes back honestly to how fundamentally we view God or even like how we view ourselves. And oh, look at that. It's on the screen. Look at that. So good. So for example, like in terms of how we view God, right? This is something that we talked about a couple weeks ago of like, what are those images that come to mind when we actually think about God, right? Is it actually, yes, there's like all the kind of like correct Sunday school answers that we learn, but when it comes down to like subconsciously, like deep in my feelings, do I actually maybe just see God as like a distant concept? Or do I actually view him as basically like an abusive father, you know? You know, maybe he's like an impersonal master, right? And we're actually at a point where it's like, okay, based on that relationship, like, no, God is not someone who can actually speak to me, right? Or even how we view ourselves. I think there's like some very real things happening here as well of like feelings around, oh, I'm actually a pretty bad Christian, you know? Like, I am an unworthy servant. I don't deserve to hear God's voice. And I think just to like actually name those feelings is really important, because most of the time we're operating just through life, not really thinking about it, but in all honesty, like that's actually what's going on, you know, like kind of like within. And so I think once we name those things, I think that's when we can start to bring those things before God to be like, okay, God, this is how I honestly feel. I don't think I deserve to hear your voice. Can you rewrite that narrative for me? You know, like, and I think that's a lot of what ends up forming like a really healthy, almost like life of prayer as we kind of struggle and wrestle with God around these questions and kind of just bring them before him. All right. So, cool. That is where we're going to kind of pause with that. And let's get practical, because I want to talk through some of these things. So, I want to kind of start off with a couple of like basic teaching points around like hearing from the voice of God. And then I want to turn this into just a pretty practical workshop. And hopefully by the end, I can help to demonstrate that it's a lot easier than you may think. And it's something that all of us have the ability to do. So starting off, number one, next slide. Every single one of us, again, is able to hear the voice of God, right? So John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, right? So it's like all of us are his children, and all of us have the ability to hear his voice. So that's where I want to start off. And I feel like in terms of like recognizing God's voice, a lot of it can also come from familiarity, right? So actually, maybe I'll do this as a quick little demonstration. All right, let's see. Okay, so I'm going to have Steph and Paulette stand up. Okay, all right. So I'm going to have Steph stand over here with your back facing Paulette. Okay, so No. We're not going to do a trust wall here. Okay, so if I could have everyone maybe just like turn to your neighbor and just start saying some random gibberish. Okay, we're going to create some noise in the room. Oh, great. And there's also instrumental music. Great, so good. All right, so just like buzz, say random things, words, gibberish, whatever. And at some point, Paulette, I'm just going to have you say a phrase.
Yeah. Just like talk. Okay, you might have to talk a little bit louder. What do you want to eat for lunch? All right, say it again.
All right, I'm going to pause there. Steph, did you at any point hear Paulette's voice?
Yes.
Yes. Did you hear what she said?
That's what I wanted to have for lunch.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for Steph and Paulette. Okay, so actually, Paulette didn't talk very loudly, right? And actually, that worked out perfectly. That was a great example. I thought she was going to need to talk louder, actually. But it's kind of like the same way of like when you have someone that you know pretty well. So we love the King sisters. So great. That's so cute. Woo! But it's like when there's someone in your life that you just know pretty well, even if you don't see them, right? And they're like talking amongst a whole room of noise right behind your back, you're going to be able to recognize their voice, right? And so that goes for like good friends, your parents, family, partners, whatever, good friends, all that kind of stuff, right? And so I actually view kind of like thinking about recognizing the voice of God in a very similar way, right? So it's kind of like as we hone that recognition of God's voice, a lot of it comes through just like spending more time in his presence, actually. You know, it's like as we spend more time with someone, we are just able to recognize what their voice sounds like, even if it's not directly in front of our face and we can't see that person talking to us, right? Like, even if they're just like behind us in a big room of people, you'll be able to recognize that voice, right? So that's, I feel like, a helpful analogy that I want to start off with today. And so next slide. God is always speaking to us, but again, like, actually, English is not his first language. Wow. And so, kind of a second helpful analogy I'll share with everyone, next slide, is almost like kind of thinking about God's voice as like a radio receiver. And so it's like, yes, kind of like how there's always radio waves basically happening in the air around us. We just can't hear it all the time, right? But like when you have the right radio receiver like tuned into the right frequency, you'll be able to pick up on like what is being said. Right? And so I think in a lot of ways, it's almost like that's kind of like what's going on. It's like God is always speaking. His voice is always there. It's just that like where we're tuned into and that the frequency of where we're at may not always be tuned into that like same frequency of God, but it's very possible for us to kind of get to that point. Right? And so that's helpful analogy number two. And I'll have some more helpful analogies later on. So that being said, it's kind of like, yeah, understanding that there's many different kind of quote-unquote languages of God, and there's so many different ways. He's not necessarily always talking to us in English, and it's not always going to be like an audible voice speaking to us through like the silence or something like that, right? And so what I want to do is take us through kind of like all these different potential ways that we can maybe be hearing from God. And so, yeah, Proverbs 20, verse 12, the hearing eye and the seeing eye, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. All this to say, like, it's like there's so many different ways that we can actually perceive of how God might be speaking. It may not be in words, may not be in English, but all of them are actually equally valid ways of hearing from God. And I actually believe that, like, as human beings, we're actually hardwired to hear from God. Like, how we're made, who we are, even, like, the senses and perceptions that we've been created with, like, God made us intentionally in that way to actually be able to hear from him. Right? So, next slide. Just like we all have different, just in our physical bodies, like different receptors. So like we all have eyes and ears and we like perceive of the world in different ways, right? Like we take in different sources of information, hot, cold, balance, all these things. We can kind of think about even when it comes to hearing from God, like maybe like four different kinds of receptors that we have. So seeing is one of them, right? So like images, visuals, things like that. Hearing is another one, right? That we take in information, sounds, words, things like that. Feeling slash sensing is like in your body, right? Like physical sensations, like ways that we kind of can perceive of like hot, cold, touch, all those different kinds of things. And like a final receptor is kind of like in our basically like minds, like when you just like know that you know something, you know, like you just like, you can't, you don't really know how, but you just know that like something is true, right? So these are kind of like four different kinds of receptors that we have. And then next slide, there's also like basically like three different dimensions that we can receive information on as well. So external basically is referring to the natural world. So like everything that we receive from the world around us. Internal is like what's kind of going on within yourself. So within like your mind's eye or like imagination, things like that. And then mystical is there's a spiritual realm, right? So like there is kind of like supernatural things and like a spiritual realm that God also operates in. And so that's kind of like a third dimension that we might be able to receive from. So if you think about those four receptors times three dimensions, there's like almost like 12 different ways that we can think about, you know, receiving information from God. So let's just walk through a couple of examples here. So let's go through seeing, right? So external seeing is like, let's say that you're out in nature, right? And a lot of times this is referred to as like natural revelation, right? When you're like literally in like the like a national park somewhere, Yosemite or whatever, and it's like you're just like awed by the beauty of God. And it's like the nature that you're literally seeing with your physical eyes is speaking to you about who God is. Right? That's external seeing. Internal seeing would be something more like a mental image or like an impression that you're receiving. So sometimes when people are in prayer or, you know, trying to receive something from God, there's like actually like a mental image that you're getting, right? Like, ooh, I'm like kind of visualizing something within my mind. That's an example of internal seeing. And then mystical seeing would be like, for example, when people like kind of report that they're seeing an angel, right? It's like, that's not something that's in our physical worlds. It's also not something that's just purely like imagines or just like in their mental image. Like if there's something about the spiritual world that people are seeing. I think that's probably like a lot more rare, but that's just an example of what mystical seeing would actually be. And so you can kind of translate this to all the other ones too, right? For hearing, external hearing would be like, you know, kind of like music, movies, things like that. Internal hearing might be kind of like that still small voice of God, right? Like when you really quiet yourself and you're just like, ooh, I feel like there's a word or just kind of a phrase or something that God is speaking to me kind of like internally, right? And then mystical hearing, I think, would probably be an example when people say like, oh, I heard the audible voice of God, you know? Like that's not probably something coming from the natural world. It's also maybe not something coming from like just their imagination and minds, but it's like literally like God from the supernatural like speaking into someone and that they're actually hearing from that realm. So that's kind of like what mystical hearing would be. So anyway, all you can kind of keep going through all these different examples. Sensing feeling is like stuff in your body basically. So, you know, like kind of like external feeling would be like, you know, maybe like communion, tasting communion. Internal feeling, maybe just like an overwhelming sense of being moved with compassion, mystical feeling, maybe actually literally feeling pain in your body for somebody else, stuff like that. Next slide for knowing, it's kind of like when you know that you know something. So like when you're like people watching and you're just like, I just know that that person's like going through something, you know, like that's an example of like external knowing. Internal knowing is just like kind of gut intuition inside. And then mystical knowing is like there are definitely times when there's like words of knowledge that people receive, you know, kind of like God giving like a direct revelation about somebody, you know, a fact of someone's life. So anyway, those are all kind of different examples, and hopefully that helps expand our imagination a little bit and our realm of possibility around like, oh my goodness, there's actually a lot of different ways that we can be hearing from God, and I think all of those are equally valid. All right, next. Okay, so the kind of next question I want to go to here is, often when we talk about this topic of hearing from God, this word prophecy or like the prophetic also tends to come up quite often, right? And I feel like that can definitely give some people like heebie-jeebies because I very much so, like there are very real experiences of churches, individuals abusing the gift of prophecy, using it to like really kind of manipulate people or kind of like control them. That is not what we're talking about here. And I totally acknowledge that that can happen. And so, yes, I admit that there's like very real anxiety sometimes around this word. But I just kind of want to hopefully like remove some of those like kind of external fears around those and just redefine the prophetic for people. So next slide. I think when hearing from God becomes prophecy, when you kind of take that information that you're perceiving and give it to someone else or a group of people with love. I think it's just like the act of like, okay, I'm receiving something and I want to use it to bless somebody else. I feel like that's basically the prophetic, right? And this is confirmed in scripture when we read about even what the purpose of prophecy is, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. That's the purpose of prophecy. So I think these two topics are basically intertwined, right? Like hearing from God, that can totally be something for your individual discernment. But absolutely, we can also, when we hear from God, use it to bless others and use it for the purpose of their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. All right. So last thing I want to address together is just like a practical thing, which is, I think, again, a very real source of nervousness for people is like, well, how do I know? How do I actually know that what I'm getting is like from God and it's just like not myself or some other source, right? And I think the first thing I want to say is like more so I think we tend to basically stay on the side of fear as opposed to like faith. So I think a lot of times, yes, there's very real examples of people like kind of quote unquote getting it wrong essentially. But I think more often than not, we actually receive accurate words from God that we don't actually share. Or that we don't actually live into. I think that's actually more common. But you can check about certain things. And a couple of kind of easy ways to reference. Number one is just like kind of like checking whatever that prophetic word or whatever it is that you feel like you're hearing from God against his character or his nature. So that's number one, right? Is this in line with what I know to be true about God and who he is? Right? Because he's not going to speak a word that's like counter to his nature. Okay? So that's number one. Number two is like, is this aligned with like the person of Jesus Christ and who he represents? Right? Number three is scripture. So that's totally a way that you can check is just like, okay, from scripture, can I also be checking this prophetic word that I'm receiving? Number four, which I think is really important, is discernment in community. So actually sharing what you're receiving with other people and just being like, hey, can you also pray into this? And just let me know. Like what you feel, right? Is this aligned or not aligned? And then finally is also just like looking at what is the fruit of that word. So it's like that whole verse, which is like good fruit only comes from good trees, right? Good fruit does not come from bad trees and bad fruit does not come from good trees. So if the fruit of the word is like leading you towards peace, joy, love, you know, like conviction, more faith, things like that, that's pretty good fruit, you know? And it's like, you can probably trust that, like, even if when the initial word that you see, it's like, oh, I don't know, but what it produces within you is those things, you know, that's a pretty good sign. But if, like, you're receiving a word, and the fruit of that word is shame, condemnation, you know, guilt, making you feel like less than somebody else, or like making you feel like really like either like disunity or anger or, you know, things like that. That's not very good fruits. Probably not a good word. Okay. So, what I want to share is when you are maybe even on the receiving ends of a prophetic word, this is, I think, like a key insight, I think that will really kind of help to redefine like how the church approaches prophecy is that the receiver of a word has just as much power, if not more, than the giver of that prophetic word. I'm going to say that again. The receiver word actually has just as much power, if not more, as the giver of that prophetic word. Because why? First of all, it's the same Spirit of God that lives within both the receiver as well as the giver of a word. But also, number two, the power of a prophetic word comes from our agreement with it. So if you actually are like on the receiving end of a word that's either like not accurate, not actually from God, you know, maybe it's like producing some of that bad fruit, right? Like, oh, it's like basically like condemning you. It's like producing guilt, shame, all those kinds of things. Guess what? As a receiver of a word, you have complete power and authority to be like, I'm not about to receive that word, right? Because I don't think that's actually coming from a good place. I don't think that's actually coming from God, right? And when you're in that position where like that's the word that you're receiving, guess what? You can just, next slide, flush it down the toilet, okay? You go ahead and you flush it, and it's like, nope, that word is not for me, okay? Thank you for your concern. Thank you for your maybe intention. But like what that is producing within me, I don't, after my own discernment and prayer, I don't think it's actually coming from God, and it's not actually producing good fruit in my life, right? So just want to put it out there. You have complete power to do that. Okay, and so I think that just gives us like a lot more freedom, even as like the body of Christ, to actually even start practicing hearing from God, hearing his voice, and sharing that with other people more, because like it's not like the complete onus is on you as like the receiver word to be like, oh, I have to be 100% accurate before I share it with somebody, because the receiver has just as much power and responsibility to kind of check that word, right? So that's just something I want to put out there. And the last kind of analogy I want to put out there before we get into some practical stuff here is I think it's important that we actually have a safe space as a community to practice hearing the voice of God. And I think what I liken it to is like basically learning how to play in like an instrument like the piano. Technically, actually, every single person in this room is able to play the piano. You might not be very good at it, but like every single person has the ability to sit down before a keyboard and learn how to press like a couple notes, right? And like learn how to play like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, right? Like at a minimum, everyone is able to do that, right? For sure, there's definitely some people who like are probably more naturally gifted, and if they practice and they learn and all this stuff, like they can like reach all the way up to the levels of like concert pianist or something. Not every one of us is going to be operating on that level, but every single person, I really do believe, has the ability to at least play basic melodies on a piano, okay? And so I feel like with spiritual gifts and hearing from God, it's the same thing. All of us have a basic ability to hear from God, no matter who you are, okay? You may not be operating on like level of like supreme prophet or something like that, you know, like declaring like words over like entire nations or something like that. Like that's okay. Okay. It might not be you. That's okay. But everyone is able to at least play basic melodies on the piano, right? So I think that's kind of like the space I want to start to even help cultivate here at 99, is a place where we can actually be safe to practice some of these things, right? And to start practicing hearing from God, just being open to like the fact that like, hey, God is someone who can speak to me, and I believe that, right? And I actually have people that I feel safe with to practice that, you know? And if I kind of mess it up a little bit, if I don't get a 100% accurate word, maybe it's like 80% accurate, 90% accurate, but I'm going to practice the faith to actually say it, right? Because I would just even say from my own personal experience, I think most of this is an exercise of faith, of like, ooh, do I actually trust that God can share something with me? And when I'm receiving something, do I have the faith to just say it, basically? All right, so that is the last kind of practical thing I want to share in terms of teaching, and let's get into some practice. All right, so the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to do something that's basically kind of like almost like a blind prophecy exercise. So Isaiah, this is very important. Only advance one side. Do not advance two. All right, so in this next slide, I am basically going to have like a mystery location. Okay. Okay, so what you're going to be doing is actually leaning into that prophetic right now and leaning into like hearing God's voice right now. Like really start to ask God for details about this location. I would say, this is my recommendation, like don't immediately jump to what is the place. Okay, because again, God speaks to us in a lot of different ways. And how he speaks to us is not always super direct. Of like, what is the location? Oh, is it LA? Okay, God told me LA. It's LA. Okay? A lot of times that's not how it works, you know? Like, because a lot of times, like, the object is not the most important thing that God wants to communicate to you about. Sometimes it's like the emotionality of the place, right? Or like something that's like like some sort of aspect of that location, or like something that God wants to highlight for you, that he wants to show you about that location. And so I would kind of start paying attention to like maybe like exploring senses, like what are you seeing, what are you hearing, right? Like, is there something that you're sensing in your body? Is there something that even just kind of like cognitively, like maybe like God is bringing to mind for you? Okay, and so I'm going to give everyone just like a couple minutes to do this, okay, and just kind of like, God, what are you sharing with me about this location, okay? And you can even ask the second question, like ask how God is moving in this place over the next couple years. I think that's actually one of the things that can start to get really powerful. Okay, so I'll give everyone a couple minutes, and I will check back in a couple minutes.